Alright everyone, it's the Grimlord here, and we haven't done this in a long time, but this is Grim Rant, not Grim Rants at the Heavens. What did we call it? The Grim Rant Show. That's what we're calling it. The Grim Rant Show. And we are back. We don't really have articles, but we are going to talk about some things that happened. What we need to talk about first and foremost is the Amaranth situation. Obviously, Amaranth is a very well-known streamer on Twitch for all the wrong reasons. There are accusations that she helped underage girls get into the platform, which isn't the coolest thing. Especially, and that she was basically kind of pimping them out. I don't know, you can read some of the stuff on Reddit. Take of it what you will, but there's a lot of accounts from girls on there that claim that there were many girls that were underage and they were showing things that they probably shouldn't have showed on there. Also, Amaranth tried to bring down Anime Matsuri and fuck with Vic. So I don't have any sympathy for the bitch at all. Not only that, but she's also done a lot of other things over the years. She does happen to be one of the most lucrative on the platform. She owns 17 gas stations. She considers herself a businesswoman and dabbles into the stock market. But now we have the accusations, and they are just accusations because, as RPM says, we need a police report. But she's got accusations, and a video that she posted of apparently what seems to be either real or crocodile tears of her boyfriend being abusive and pimping her out for money. Like that the whole thing ever since she started was for her boyfriend. And he was the abusive one, and she cried on the stream, and she said, "Why are you doing this to me?" And apparently the guy on there sounded like a beta cuck. He didn't sound like a man, a lot of people said. And a lot of people that have been through abuse said, "Oh, this sounds just like abuse to me." But the thing is, she is, by all means, an internet celebrity. Gundam made a very good point. Gundam said there's no way he can believe it. Because there's already so many times that she's fucked with people before.
Yeah.
And ruined people before. And lied. She made a career out of lying. What does she do? She goes online to pretend to be a person that she isn't. Says, "I'm not married. I'm single. I'm all for you." That's fine. But, and she even has guys believing that she's their girlfriend and sending her all kinds of money and everything else, which is, I mean, I don't feel sorry for those guys, because if you're duped enough for that, then that's your own fucking fault, honestly. Yeah. But, you know, the things that her boyfriend has apparently threatened her with, like killing her dogs and all that kind of thing, it's pretty reprehensible. And if he is absolutely doing this, and this isn't some kind of dramatization PR stunt, he needs to be under the jail. Absolutely. If any of these things turn out to be real, and we have police reports, and he is abusive and doesn't let her touch her own money, even though she went online to talk about how much money she's made. There was a meme that talked about girls not being able to make enough money for a cheeseburger, and she posted her earnings that she's made from the platform to the tune of thousands of dollars, and she said, "Oh, when I get a yacht, I will name it Cheeseburger." So basically, she was fronting on them, even though some people said, "Oh, well, that could be her boyfriend on her Twitter account." It could be. We don't know. But all I know is that she's claiming that this man is behind it all, and that he's the one pimping his wife out. Uh-huh. And I don't know about this. I just...
Sounds like a scapegoat.
It sounds fishy. It sounds like that guy's going to get thrown under the bus. And, you know, what does Dr. Phil say? No matter how flat you make a pancake, it's always got two sides. So I want to hear his situation. And because he's a man in the era of Me Too, you know, even though Johnny Depp, I guess, didn't teach us shit, the Johnny Depp trial didn't teach us shit, it should have. Because we don't know her, his side. Oh, she says he's the abuser. She's the one that he's the one that's making her cry. She is probably a trained actress that has taken several acting classes. God knows she has the money for them. So she probably knows how to cry like that on camera, on cue.
Women are good at that.
Some women are good at that. And I just can't believe it. You know, as a man, I can't take it seriously until I know for sure. And there's a lot of guys skeptical. So I don't buy this shit. And I don't think you should either. I think we need to wait until we have a police report filed. And we have evidence. Now, they did say there's some emails and some texts. However, one of the guys on Twitter, his name was Black Man, said, yeah, that's what his, he said. He said, looking at some of the supposed texts, I found out that one of them was about the quality of her stream. So that doesn't sound like anything an angry, threatening boyfriend would send to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like she's kind of drumming this up, as she has done before. This is the last person we should take seriously.
I'm wondering if some simp guy just got mixed into it. She's like, oh yeah, I'll give you this if you play a game with me.
Absolutely.
And she's like, I've got video footage.
Yeah.
And he's like, what did I do?
Yeah, yeah, there's guys stupid enough to fall for that. That's a very good point.
Simps.
Oh my God, it's bad. Okay, so that's done. And now we have to talk about things on your side of the fence.
Yeah.
Because Matt Walsh, who I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
He said recently, just today, after all the internet's talking about it, Twitter is running wild. Basically, he said, he basically said, let me go ahead and get the tweet so I don't say this out of, you know, the wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to make sure to get the tweet just right here. So give me a second, guys. It's better to give you
verbatim.
Yeah, verbatim. So let's see here. Hold on. No. Let me see if I can find it. Just give me a second, guys. This is very important that I get this here. Let's see. I might have to look him up. He's gonna be pretty popular. Okay. He says he's got some... Okay, he's actually updated. He has updated. So we're going to go back to his earliest posts here. He said... Oh, I wonder if he's... Oh, he didn't realize he got hit. What? Okay, this is absolutely ridiculous. So we're going to be reading some tweets. He says, I think it's all satanic. I have no argument for it. I have no argument for why it's satanic. It just seems that way to me. This is Matt Walsh on anime. Now... He has stated, he said, I am catching heat because I said that anime is satanic. I just want to clarify that yes, it will literally lead to demonic possession in upwards of 87% of cases, studies show.
I don't know about all that. That sounds like
trying
trolling.
To spin this as satire is not going to change the fact that your take was absolute crap. Let's see. Also, he said, I am never kidding. Huh. He says, I am never kidding. And he also said, I have to admit I'm sort of flattered that I can riff for 35 seconds about anime and it generates actual news headlines. Matt Walsh says he thinks anime is satanic and adults shouldn't be watching cartoons. Theocratic fascist. Matt Walsh says anime is satanic because it just seems that way to me. Daily Wire troll. Ooh. Matt Walsh denounces anime as satanic, though he doesn't know why. Daily Wire troll Matt Walsh. That's the Daily Beast. And another one, Matt Walsh declares anime satanic but can't say why. And another person says, what is your actual take on anime then? He says, I don't care enough to have an actual take.
Well, he also doesn't care for superhero movies or anything, anything Marvel or DC.
Right.
But that's just his opinion. I mean,
he's entitled to his opinion. And I'm going to say, I'll read some other tweets. He says, 74% of all serial killers have an anime habit. Hitler was also into... That's got to be a... That's a joke. Because it says, the girl from The Exorcist used anime, and then the next thing you know, she was crawling around upside down on the ceiling.
Was him tweeting, or is that somewhere?
Yeah, but he also says, I want to apologize for singling out anime. I actually think all cartoons are satanic. And then at the bottom... He says, especially Paw Patrol.
Well, there you go.
Now, yeah.
I can get on board with Paw Patrol.
Yeah. I should get more credit for giving you stuff to talk about every week. It's an important public service that I provide for free.
Yeah.
Jason, whatever they're paying you, I'll double it.
I can't remember what the name of Candace Owens' new documentary, but it's supposed to be real good. But... I think they're all part of the Daily Wire.
Oh, yeah. So, okay, we're not going... Because he's not serious. That's the thing. Like, he just said that to kind of generate... So, you know what, though? All right. Let's humor this. Let's humor this. Just humor this. You know, 16 years raised up Baptist, Pentecostal. I've been in the church. I've actually been through the phase where I wasn't allowed to celebrate Halloween. It was called the Devil's Christmas. I went to church. Basically, they would tell us not to mess around with spirits and spells, and they would give us great big bags of candy. So it wasn't bad. Yeah. But here's the thing about anime. Let me be honest. There's a lot of different anime, because some people did legitimately post, there is Bible anime. I will find it because I know that kind of interests you a little bit.
I'd be interested to see what that's about.
And we will be hunting that down because I definitely want to see that.
They're saying Superbooks anime. I don't buy.
No. This is legit anime that I didn't even know was a thing. Yeah, there's legit.
Well, you know it ain't being made in China because those people are dead.
Yeah.
They don't allow that there. Now, Japan, possibly.
Okay, in the beginning, Bible Stories is an anime television series based on the Bible's Hebrew scriptures created by Osamu Tezuka. Wow. I wonder how many episodes it has. It's got 26 episodes. It's the fourth time, it marked the fourth time Bible Stories formed the basis of a Japanese animated television series, following the two Superbook series and The Flying House, which were made for Pat Robertson's Christian Broadcasting Network by Tatsunoko. So, it basically has the Old Testament, the creation, Cain and Abel, Noah's Ark, Abraham and Isaac, Joseph, Moses, David and Solomon, and the final episode featured the birth of Jesus Christ.
It's almost all Old Testament except for the last
episode. Yeah, Tezuka's manga work frequently included religious themes, and because of his long-running manga Buddha, he is sometimes perceived as being a devout Buddhist, but he's largely agnostic. Okay. So, I don't even know if we could... But there is an anime for the Bible, and there's Manga Bible, which is a 6-volume manga series based on the Christian Bible. Uh-huh. And, yeah. And, Let's see. Oh no, that's definitely not. The manga Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But yeah, that's the anime, In the Beginning Bible Stories. It's got 7.9 out of 10.
Oh, that sounds
We
good.
Need to go find this.
Yeah.
We should do the anime Bible. We could do that as a thing. It's old enough that we could do it.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of curious.
I definitely want
to
find out.
Let's do that. So guys, if you want us to do the anime Bible, like In the Beginning, we will do it, because I'm familiar with the stories. I know that DP here is. And we're just going to go ahead and do this. And I don't know if I doxed your name, but I don't think it really matters that much.
DP?
No. I think I said might have said your real name. As long as, you know, there isn't any last name there. Because there's a lot of people with your name, to be fair. There's a lot.
There's
people.
Only one of me there.
Yeah.
Damn shit.
Yeah, yeah. And to be honest, you have a very odd last name.
Oh yeah.
You really do.
Maybe.
So yeah, it's not something.
I have my own castle in England.
Yeah.
Or maybe Scotland. I have to look that up.
Yeah, it's quite.
It's one of the two.
It's quite interesting, but little hints there for anybody that wants to play that game. But anyway, so that's pretty much what we're going to say about the Bible-related anime. But we got a couple more minutes, so we'll go ahead and add just this. Anime, there is absolutely, according to what Matt Walsh and many evangelical Christians, there is a lot of spirits and summoning and witches and things like that in anime. A lot of pentagrams, pentacle, anything like that. Inverted crosses, depending on the anime. Some anime is directly satanic, like stuff like Bible Black. It's definitely satanic. And I'm talking about legit, like it's supposed to be. Bible Black is supposed to be satanic. It's supposed to be about that. But not everything there is, devil worship or anything like that.
There's
also,
there's so many different
varieties of anime. Like, but to some, even working with energies, that could be considered, you know, like when Goku does his powering up or something like that, that can be seen. Also, you have to keep in mind that one thing about Christianity is thou shalt know have no other gods before me.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of gods and goddesses and things like that.
It's not just meant to be gods. It's meant to be things you put above.
Well, yes, but it's also other. Because remember, in those times, there were definitely, you know, pagans and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And Shintoism has 33,000 gods.
Oh, yeah.
So we have it's a complete difference between cultures. So this is why the evangelical movement would see much of this as satanic, even though it's not something that we would consider satanic, except for, you know, obvious stuff.
Lord of the Rings is a
good Lord of the Rings would be considered.
Series of books.
Mm-hmm. But it would be considered satanic as well.
I don't see too many Christians banning it.
Harry Potter definitely got it because of the witchcraft and wizardry.
They did it first, but you know, K. Rowling, she's a devout Christian.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
And there's quite a few other things. Obviously, Anne Rice wrote some Christian books, but, you know, she also.
I love her. Take on vampires.
Yeah, her vampire stuff is great. Don't watch the new stuff, though. It's terrible. That interview with the vampires, they made them all gay. Oh, yeah, that's.
Oh, is there a remake?
It's called Interview with a Vampire. And it's on AMC, and they made them gay. Gay black, made one black, one of the guys is black, one's white, and they're gay.
I mean, don't change what's already.
People just said that it would be a great thing if it wasn't. It'd be a great thing if it wasn't, if it was a different series, different story. If it was not under Interview with a Vampire. Because they basically just took somebody else's vampire story and put Interview with a Vampire on it. That's what they did. They're like, oh, this is a good vampire script I wrote. Oh, let's put Interview with a Vampire on it. That way people want to see it. And everybody that's read the books are like, what the fuck is this? They're like, Rice is rolling in her grave.
I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of things with, or books and movies with gay characters.
Oh, I don't have any issue with that at all.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Y'all take, like, Batman, you know what would make Batman even better?
Yeah, if he was gay.
If he was a flaming homosexual.
Yep. They tried to do that. And I don't like that. Hammerhand's been real vocal about that. He's really not happy. If you want to see a man mad, you watch him when he talks about that.
Well,
oh, he's mad.
You think about, what is it? I can't think
about it. Batman is a hero to many young boys. And we don't, I mean, they would try to get them into, I mean, if they see that their character is gay, that might encourage them, even if they're not, you know, it's just kind of a bad thing because,
I mean, it's something they can relate to.
It's something they can relate
and
to,
so
but it,
if you make them gay, then that changes the dynamic. I mean, yeah, there's
gay people, but not everyone is gay. Like, there was an article that came out that was saying by 2030 everyone would be gay. It's like, I fucking hope not.
I think they're trying to push.
They're trying to push the transgender and the gayism.
Which I understand gay people would probably be offended by throwing them in the same mix.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I know that there's trans people that cause a lot of trouble, and there's trans people that don't. There's gay people that cause a lot of trouble, and there's gay people that don't. So
I don't see too many rational trans people.
But the rational ones do exist, is what I'm saying.
Possibly.
Because, I mean,
is it rational to cut your dick off?
No, there's not all of them do that.
Well,
because there's, Kress over there, and it does the show with Drex sometimes. He's transgender. But he'll say, look, these people have lost their mind. This isn't part of the community. These are hostile parts of the community.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, he'll say straight up. Kress is a decent dude. I was actually on the show with Kress. I didn't really get to talk that much. Kress was listening, but I didn't really get to talk that much. I would have definitely asked him, though.
Well, I mean, there's no river it doesn't contain a bin. I'm sure there's a couple of rational
absolutely.
Trans. I've seen more rational gay people, probably.
Oh, yeah. Like, I was talking about with Shaft, we can talk about from MGTOWN Podcast. He's very rational when he comes out. He's like he's flamboyantly gay. He's a huge anime fan. He loves the muscle anime, you know. He loves that kind of stuff. He's a bodybuilder.
And
this man
also seen very irrational, sometimes very aggressive gay.
But but the one thing I do like about him is he'll look at something and be like, "Yep, that's gay." And when he says that's gay, he knows. He's like, oh shit. He's like, yeah, you know, you might just be a little bit gay.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's not that it's a bad thing, but you might want to think about things for a minute. Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah. But, all right.
Digress.
I got to digress on that one. But yeah, lastly, we're going to say, because I already made a whole damn video about this. This lastly, for those of you that want a shorter version. All right, so I basically had a commenter on MGTOW.TV telling me about the game Once in a Lifetime that we're going to be playing more of because it does so well. People love it. The guy's a god. He's a great writer. Whatever. Okay. Anyway, the game's made in Honey Select Studio. He's not charging anybody for it. It's free. You can download it right now. The game I'm playing, you don't have to pay for it. You can just download the full game on itch.io for free. You can download Eternum, the next game. It's not finished, but there's 4 chapters, and you can get it for free on itch.io. But if you want to support him, you can. And here's what I say about that. Because the commenter was basically saying, oh, this is e-begging. First of all, the guy's not deliberately asking for money. This is basically like, hey, I'm a game developer. This takes me a lot of time. This is a lot of work. And I'm a writer. I'm writing all these scenes. I'm rendering all this different stuff in this program with all these different mods and things. So if you want to support me in my work, you can do so. And I'll give you, you know, different tiers. Like, and basically his tiers, They basically offer like a Discord, which you can charge for a Discord. There's no problem. People do it all the time. You can charge for special renders, I guess. I don't know. But it's not even that. He's like, if you support me, I'm giving you this as a gift. It's like, this is what you get for supporting me. So I don't have an issue with that. And then there's, the whole, okay, if you support me at this level, then you'll get the newest episode of the game early. Like, if you support me at the highest level, you'll get it as soon as I get done with it. I mean, it'll be buggy. It still needs a lot of work. You're basically a beta tester, but you'll get to play it before everybody else does. And that's fine. See, as an issue. Again, he's not charging anybody for it. The game is still going to be released to everybody for free when it's completed and, you know, when it's fully... when the episode is done. And some of these episodes, they can be quite long. Some are short, some are quite long. And, I mean, I like the game. He did admit that the game was quiet in the beginning, and he apologizes for that. But we will continue with Once in a Lifetime. And I swear, it'll probably get better as it goes on. Because things... I read the summary. It looks like it's going to be cool. And we'll play that. We'll play Eternum. Because I know Eternum will probably be a couple parts down after we get finished with Once in a Lifetime. It'll probably be on episode 5 or even episode 6 by the time we get there. Depending on how long Once in a Lifetime is. I hadn't looked at it yet, so I'm not really sure. I got time to do that. Let's see. Once in a Lifetime. I can find out right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so it is 12 hours. I mean, that's not that long. It's long, but it's not that long.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll play that. We'll probably be able to get through it pretty quickly. And as you know, Fresh Women is about ready to end, so we're probably going on to something else. I've already said there are some interesting things I'm looking into. I'm trying to cover games that are actually finished. And by that, I mean the season is done. Not the game, the season. Like, Fresh Women Season 1 is complete, so we're doing all of Fresh Women. Once in a Lifetime, not Once in a Lifetime, but Leap of Faith completed, so we're doing the whole game.
Okay.
This game is done, so we're doing it. So that's why I really want to focus on the finished games instead of doing the stuff that is still being worked on. That's what I'm going for there. But again, I don't think any of this is a problem. Obviously, Eternum is made in Honey Select 2. I have not seen Illusion. I have not seen Faku come out against him. I guarantee this guy would just quit if any of those companies had said to him, hey, we notice you're using our game and you're profiting off of it. But he's not, because he's not charging for it. He's just, if you like what I do, you can support it. Same thing with the people that crack the Illusion games. They're off, they're paying money. And one might say what they're doing is more illegal than what he's doing. Because they're not only kind of cracking the game, but they're translating and localizing the game, which is supposed to be a job for Faku and their people. It's not supposed to be a job for Better Repack. Better Repack is the one that's been going in there and doing that, or whatever translators they have. And Better Repack has a Patreon. What do you think you're paying them for? To localize a game that's not released in the United States or anywhere else in the West. That seems a little illegal to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's kind of like that. And, you know, and the guy was saying, you know, he said, oh, well, this is going to cause the collapse of the economy and everything else because people are begging for money. It's like, no. The guy's doing hard work, and I don't know, to be honest, I don't know how hard it is to make these games. I know it takes him a while to do it.
I don't know what part of the economy he thinks is going to collapse.
And, he said that the supply chain.
Oh.
But...
Well, if they don't ever bring it to America for different reasons, whether it's too vulgar, they think.
Right.
Whatnot.
Well, see, both of these games are released here. We have Honey Select 1 and 2 legally here in the United States.
Yeah.
So all he's doing is using the studio to make games, and if people like the work, they give him money. I don't. Again, nobody has said anything. Patreon could crack down on him if they wanted to. Illusion could crack down. Faku could crack down. They have cracked down before. They haven't cracked down on this. Blizzard cracked down on the mods that were being made for Overwatch to make, that were making sex games from it.
Yeah.
So, but this company hasn't done it, and they are in full 100% like authority to do that. Faku is. Faku's literally said, hey, we can't do this. Faku closed down Hentai Haven. There was a lot of people that just cracked down on this kind of stuff. So what I'm saying here is, you know, we shouldn't get upset about this guy doing this, you know, because obviously people love the game. They love the writing. There's a lot of really good writing into it. Decisions that matter. Characters that actually mean something. And I guess things happen to the characters. I don't know. I haven't played it, so we can't really tell you. But that's pretty much all I've got for right now. Obviously, we'll have some more articles. We'll have some articles for you later. Like, we could talk about the... let's see here. What do we have? Oh, yeah. According to the New York Post, and this is a real article, air pollution is making women fat. New study.
Oh, they'll come up with any excuse.
Air pollution, guys. That's what's making women fat. You know what? Let's go for it. New York Post doesn't have any...
So it's not bread or sugar or...
Here it is, 12 hours ago. Looks like all that water weight might actually be from the air. A new study suggests that long-term air pollution exposure is linked to women gaining weight, particularly ladies in their late 40s and 50s. Women who were exposed to poor air quality, specifically higher levels of fine particles such as nitrogen dioxide and ozone, had seen increases in their body size, according to study author Xin Wang, an epidemiology research investigator at the University of Michigan. The exposure to air pollution was tied to higher body fat, fat proportion, and lower lean mass for middle-aged women. Eureka Alert noted that body fat increased by 4.5% or about 2.6 pounds. The data came from a mix of 1,654 white, black, Chinese, and Japanese women whose median age was 50. They had been tracked for 8 years from 2000 to 2008. You know what I think?
What? I think it's an excuse. Oh, it's
hold on.
Sit all day, watch TV.
Before we get to my analysis, we got just a couple little more paragraphs here. Their residential addresses were used to measure the relative air pollution surrounding their homes as well, looking for connections between the two entities. However, exercise and physical activity acted as a deterrent to the effects in these findings, according to the outlet. Of course. Wang also said that because the study had focused solely on middle-aged women, these findings can't be generalized to younger or older women or men. So, you know what my take on this is? It's the wall. It's that wall.
Actually,
they're 50.
There's more to it than that.
It's the wall. It's definitely the wall.
But there's some good-looking 50-year-olds. It just depends on how they take care of themselves.
What the hell? Why did somebody... What... Penis size linked to personality? Dick pics give first impressions, study finds. Study by New Mexico researchers found that people with bigger penises are perceived as more outgoing and attractive, while the opposite is true for those with more minuscule members. First published in August in the journal Sexuality and Culture, the article recently went viral thanks to a bikini-clad doctor who explained the manhood measuring research for Instagram's viewing pleasure. Study tested what first impression you're giving about your personality judging by your dick pic alone, says the poster, who goes by Dr. M, the science femme, and says she has a neuroscience PhD while wearing a push-up two-piece swimsuit. The unidentified lecturer, known for posting viral science explainers in lingerie, collaborated with science site SciPost to interpret the sex experiment conducted by scientists from New Mexico Highlands University. The scientists have reportedly carried out the phallic personality test with the aim of investigating what information is inferred from a picture of a penis of zero acquaintance. To determine the correlation between a stranger's penis presentation and how they're perceived, the Randy researcher showed 106 people, 80% of whom were women, photos of 24 penises that varied in girth, length, and the amount of pubic hair. After looking at the image, the participants were then asked to infer whether the owner was extroverted, good in bed, dependable, anxious, and other personality traits. They found there exists an undeniable link between the size of a member and how one's character is perceived. Yeah, I'm sure. Generally speaking, bigger Johnsons were seen as synonymous with extroversion, while smaller penises were perceived as the opposite. Or, as a science femme put it, apparently skinny penises are giving neuroticism, and girthy penises are giving extroverted, open to new experiences, more sexually active, better in bed, and more of a pleaser as opposed to being a pillow princess. Long penises gave off the same impressions, added the bikini clad brainiac. Average-sized willies, on the other hand, fell not surprisingly in the middle of the character indicator spectrum, per the study. Medium-length penises didn't signal any strong personality traits at all, Dr. M explained. Congratulations, you're a blank canvas. Maybe now partners can get to know you as a person. Interestingly, the opposite rule held true for pubic hair, in which less was more in terms of public perception. Having untrimmed pubic hair gives off strong signals that you're introverted, disagreeable, a careless virgin, declared the science femme. While the study may seem superficial, the scientists stressed their research was valuable for determining that people can formulate impressions based on penis presentation alone. While most research has prioritized the face pictures and biographies of potential partners, the present findings take a step forward to investigate how many pictures of penises may contribute to the holistic perception of the person within digital spaces, the scientists wrote. In fact, the science femme commended the study authors on being shockingly woke and aware, self-aware. I was impressed by how they acknowledged that penis size-based perceptions of masculinity are related to greater sexism and greater sexual narcissism. Add a new red flag to the list, y'all, she said. Okay. Thankfully, despite the aforementioned findings, the punily endowed reportedly compensate for an alleged lack of character in other ways. For instance, a 2020 survey by Online Bazaar OnlyBuy found that the biggest earners tend to have the smallest willies. No. Okay, that seems sexist as hell.
They're not using it. They gotta do something so they make money.
Well,
I want my penis to say I'm outgoing.
I'm not a piece of meat, folks. They're definitely treating us like pieces of meat. And on that note, this is the Grim Lord and Dead Penetration, and we are out. We'll see you next time on the Grim Rant Show.
Later.